welcome to NACSW's Podcast of the Month. Our podcast program makes available recordings of a wide variety of NACSW presentations and discussions on topics of particular interest to Christians and social work. Our Podcast of the Month program features a new podcast every 30 days for your listening pleasure. We hope you enjoy today's podcast.
Services you offer, because I think that is a part of this presentation, is just looking at the diversity of services to children and families that are offered by congregationally affiliated, denominationally affiliated, or what's now being called faith-based agencies. I want to say, Rick didn't just introduce me. Rick's helped me put this together. He and I have been working together over the last, more than a year now, Rick, in looking at this issue and how the church is responding to the needs or has responded to the needs of children and families for a long, long time. And so we've been working on an article that's in manuscript form now. We've held a couple of summit meetings to pull people together to try to identify some of the issues. You've got the objectives for this 2 hours in front of you. I'm not going to read those. The chances of us covering all those objectives are next to none, but we'll try. And it's going to be really hard for me. I'm a visual person, and I really like feedback when I'm talking. So not to be able to see you, and then if I'm on mute, not to be able to hear you, whether or not you're laughing at my jokes, is just going to be awful. But I will do my best.
I haven't muted yet, but I will now just because there is some background noise.
Okay. All right. So I will ask Rick to put you so that I can hear you frequently so that we can get some feedback. I just got the names of people and where there are groups, but there are a lot more folks on the call. I don't know how to do this, but in the PowerPoint it says, who are our learning resources? The name and a brief description of where you are, I think is important for us to hear. So if we could take, it may take us 15 minutes to get round to everybody that's on the call. But I'd like to know what the affiliation is, and just a sentence of the kinds of services you provide to children and families. Rick, can we take it off of mute and hear from everyone?
You bet.
So let's start with Arizona at the top.
I'm from Arizona Baptist Children's Services, and I mainly do diversion program for high-risk youth.
Okay. Anybody in the B's?
Bridge of Hope. We work with homeless women and children and connecting them with mentoring groups from local churches and working with them to become financially self-sufficient.
Do you have any denominational affiliation or church?
We're interdenominational.
Interdenominational, okay. Mm-hmm. Any other B's? C's. We're Central Baptist Family Services. I am one today. We are a social service agency, and we do provide foster care, juvenile justice programs, child welfare programs, family counseling, and youth-oriented programs. Are you Southern or Northern Baptist?
American Baptist,
yes. Excuse me. Okay. Other C's? D's? E's? F's? G's? H's? I, J, K? L?
Diane, J in the J, Joy Ranch. We are a non-denominational group home for children and adolescents.
Where are you?
We're in Virginia.
Okay. All right, J. K's and L's?
The Lutherans are here from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
All right.
We're a multi-service social ministry organization. We work with teen parents. We work with families for self-sufficiency. We have an adoption program, a counseling program for families and individuals, child care.
Fantastic. M's.
This is Trina Williams from the University of Michigan. I'm a faculty member there, but just prior to starting academic work, I ran a family mentoring program. We had separate services for children and I'm just trying to learn about other faith-based initiatives and how prevalent they are.
Okay, great. Ends? OPs?
Yeah, this is Duane at the Path Rescue Mission down in Florida. We have a small rescue mission expansion. We've been open less than 3 years, but our Women and Children's House, we're doing full case management anywhere when we get them off the streets to self-sufficiency.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We're at Q's and R's, I think. ST?
Paul Treadbar from the Salvation Army Children's Village in St. Petersburg, Florida. We're a residential facility for foster children, taking care of kids in the foster care system.
All right. Anyone else? Anyone that hasn't spoken?
Yeah, I'm with Amazing Grace Adoptions in North Carolina. We do pregnancy counseling and adoption services.
All right, wonderful. And do you have an affiliation?
No, we're non-denominational.
Non-denominational.
Diana, there's one more. Good Parents Ministries and Volunteers. Your organization.
I'm having, you're breaking up. Can you say that again?
We're an interior organization.
Uh-huh.
Mentor-based services, areas of housing, employment counseling, and children's mentors.
Okay, I had trouble hearing you. I'm hoping others did. I think this is a... Is there anybody else?
Hey, United Methodist Children's Home.
Oh, yes, at the youth. I'm sorry.
We provide foster family care services, adoption services, residential group care, emergency housing service, independent living, counseling. I think that's about it.
That's pretty much. And where are you all?
We're in Decatur, Georgia.
Decatur, Georgia. Okay.
Of Atlanta.
All right. Anyone that's been overlooked?
Yeah, Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch.
Uh-huh.
And we provide...
I really think you need me to come as a consultant, by the way.
Well, we really do.
No, I'm... Okay.
Provide residential care as well as community-based services to probably 500 to 600 kids in Montana. That would include school-based, therapeutic foster care, whatever we've got generally.
Lots of stuff. All right. Anyone else that hasn't spoken? I think this litany of services and the breadth of the kinds of support from the variety of different places in the church speaks to the tremendous size of this whole arena for social services and social work that has not really been given much attention at all. And if we do nothing else today, I am excited about the fact that we have this many people with this kind of diversity of services and this kind of diversity of church affiliation, non-denominational all the way to denominational affiliations, that describe what's going on in child welfare in the church. I'm on the page that says a brief history. I've been involved in a large grant that's looking at the faith factor and faith-based initiatives and all that's been going on in public policy over the last few years. I have been appalled in looking at that the whole arena of child welfare services has been virtually ignored. And I think what we're seeing is a catch-22 that if you have been receiving government funds over the last 20, 30, 40 years, then you must not be a faith-based organization. And much of the attention has been going to new grassroots, congregationally based social services, and not really giving much attention to those of you that are in historic agencies and services that have been around a long, long time. I realize some of you are in relatively new organizations as well. When we look at a history of, and I'm not going to do much history, but I do think it's fascinating to look at a history of child welfare and see that it truly is a history of the church's care for children and families, which began during the 18th century through informal care of children in the homes of congregational members. We see that all the way back to the Revolutionary War, where we didn't have agencies, we didn't have institutions when a child was orphaned because parents died from disease or what have you. They were simply taken in to another family. It was only when we had huge national natural disasters or person-caused disasters such as the Civil War, where there were more children than could be cared for in homes, that we began to see the founding of orphanages, often by women in a congregation who would found a house and develop a setting. And some of you are in agencies that go all the way back to those very beginnings of child welfare services. During the 19th century, those were large, and some of you may still be in buildings that date from that period, a very large dormitory-type setting. In the 20th century, we began to see a shift, although the early 20th century was still a focus on care for dependent children, that is, children who didn't have, weren't in trouble or weren't troubling to others, but simply needed care, had been orphaned. And so we saw a combination of the orphanages and then children's homes, and then also the development of first the orphan trains and foster care and all of that movement. But all of that was faith-based, if we want to use today's language, or generated by church folks. I got caught in the shift and began my work in child welfare with a B.A. in sociology, still wet behind the ears. Had worked for 2 years in a state agency in the back when it was Aid for Dependent Children, and then went to work as a social worker. That was my title, certainly not my professional degree, in a congregationally affiliated children's home. In that role, had not yet turned 30, I supervised house parents. I visited families that were scattered all over the rural areas of the state, and I provided, quote, counseling services, end quote, to the children in our care. That was the early 70s, and we were seeing a dramatic shift from care for dependent children to children who were coming to us with more and more significant needs. I'm not sure that children hadn't always had those needs when children have been traumatized by family crisis, but during the 70s we were beginning to see things like drug use and abuse, sexual involvement, and all of the issues that were left over from the 60s and hitting teenagers and younger during that period. And for, as a consequence, we began to see much more of a move from residential to community-based services. And a lot of our children's homes that were denominationally affiliated began to find themselves with these large campuses, and they weren't quite sure what to do with them. So they began to do some things such as crisis care, and other kinds of, I know several agencies went to providing care for teenage mothers and their children as a transition time. All kinds of creative use of those campuses, but really beginning to move much more toward community-based services. I was fascinated to see, I happen to be a Baptist, and saw the beginning of an overlap and actually competition in my denomination between what was going on in child welfare services and the historic child welfare agencies and those that were doing congregational services through programs such as family ministry that were working in congregations. When the agencies began to move toward more community-based services and then consequently working through congregations, they found themselves working against or with, depending on how it was framed, denominational employees that they had never worked with before. So that was my experience, and I found myself coming at it from both directions, both in family ministry as well as in child welfare. When we look at child welfare services in most of our communities, in fact, most of what is actually done apart from child protective services at the state level, most of the actual care has historically been provided by faith-based organizations. Let me stop there. That was a quick historical overview, and see if anyone has questions or thoughts. Have you all gone to sleep? Do you have your mats out and are laying out on the floor? That's a joke. You have to laugh. Okay, thank you. Is that how you've seen it from your corner of child welfare in relationship to the church or denomination?
Diana?
Mm-hmm.
This is Rose Malinowski from Trinity. And though I'm out of college, I recently started working with my church on a faith-based domestic violence program, and I could see some of the tussles that you're talking about happening. So my perspective is different, being an agency sort of social worker.
Yeah. It's very different, and it means working together with people who've worked with congregations, and it's a whole different kind of work. It's a different kind of work for church leaders, but it's also a very different kind of work for social workers. And that's the piece that I think has been missing in our social work education for doing child welfare that provided through faith-based organizations. We know how to do child welfare services, but we don't know what we weren't prepared in our social work education for how to work in community-based services that are congregationally based or that are providing services that are congregationally supported. I know in the agency where I was in the 70s, we tried to keep congregations supporting us, but actually at an arm's length from us. So our brochures would have these cute little kids on the front, you know, age 7, 8, 9. And we would get boxes of toys, diapers, and quilts, when in fact the population we served were ornery teenagers. But it was hard to get congregations, and it was hard to know how to plug them in to work with the more troubled and troubling adolescents that we found ourselves serving.
Diana, this is Trina. I have a question.
Yeah.
Many congregations, at least the ones that I've been affiliated with in the past, have large amounts, at least of the women, who work as teachers and as social workers and as counselors and as a psychologist, who when they come together with the church, they just kind of have activities. And it doesn't seem to be a real easy way to translate the knowledge and the expertise that's in the congregation to the services that are provided by the congregation.
That's right. I heard somebody in a very different setting make that same comment. They had put the chair of the bank in their town as the head of the finance committee for the church, and he failed miserably. Mm-hmm. And the reason was he knew how to run a bank, but he didn't know how to run a church finance committee. They're very different kinds of skills and different kinds of responsibilities. And so working with, if you're describing volunteers that are working in this, that require very intentional professional services on our part in working with volunteers. One of the things I wanted to do today is simply point out this is a whole arena for social work practice that has been really not given much attention at all. So far as I know, this conference call and some of the conference that we have coming up that's entitled The Church and Its Agencies in Child and Family Services next month are really the first time we've looked at what does it mean when child welfare services are faith-based or denominationally affiliated. By the way, the term faith-based I find a difficult one because it can mean so many different things. And there is a wonderful typology that's been developed that talks about all the way from simply carrying the name that has long since the affiliation has been lost to being infused with the identity of the faith community that's supporting the services. So, but I'll use the term faith-based because that's the language we're using these days. Well, let me move on and talk about the distinctive characteristics of faith-based child and family welfare services.